Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, it's really devastating the first time in our life that we hear this word. It's a dangerous word. Nevermore. Nevermore. When I think of that word, I've thought about when was the first time I heard that. And I think the first time that I heard that word was when I lost my hair. In high school, I had some great hair. It was blonde and curly, and I would spend a lot of time getting it just right for school. A lot of time in that mirror, making sure I looked good. And when the hair wasn't looking good, I'd put a hat. That's how vain I was in high school. We can all relate to that a little bit, I'm sure. But then my senior year in college, the hair started to come out. It's a very devastating thing, and I thought to myself, well, I'm going to give it a little bit of time. Maybe it'll grow back. Not a big deal. More hair started to fall out. At a time that I should be full of vim and vigor in life in my college years, it was devastating because I was losing my hair. And I went to the doctor's office, and the doctor said the bad word. Remember the bad word today? The doctor said, your mom's brother is bald. It's likely you'll never more have hair on the top of your head. Now, we laugh about that. That's a very devastating thing to hear. Never more. Since that time, I was 23, I've heard a lot more nevermores. We all have. We'll never more have that time with our loved one. That phrase is used. We'll never more be as healthy as we once were. We'll never more be as happy as we once were. For a lot of people, life is about just coping through all the nevermores that come in our life. And there's a lot of sadness that comes with all those nevermores. We'll never more have this. We'll never more have it as we used to have it. Dear friends, Luke 24 this morning does a couple things. Scholars will point out, first of all, Luke 24 is really the day right after Jesus has been resurrected. It's only one 24-hour period. That's it in Luke chapter 24. Secondly, they'll point out that it's a hinge to Luke's second writing, the book of Acts. Luke writes the book of Acts. But what I'd like to suggest is the lucky interpretation. Luke chapter 24 deals with the word nevermore. Think about this. Up to Luke 24, during Jesus' day, hardly anyone believed that there was life after death. No one believed that. No one was teaching this. Here's some examples. Epicurus, a Greek philosopher, he said this, and we have a lot of Epicureans today. He said there's no life after death. So what did he say? Eat, drink, and be... Do you guys read Epicurus? You must. That's Epicurus. He taught that. That was going around, circulating around Jesus' day. The Stoics, they believed this, that after you died, you existed, but you just became particles, a part of the universe. It really wasn't any kind of existence at all. There were some Greeks who believed in an underworld, but there wasn't a firm conviction that you went there. It was just kind of for fairy tale and myth and that sort of thing. And the Jews themselves, there was only one little section of the Jews that kind of believed in a resurrection after life. The Sadducees absolutely did not believe in it. So friends, when we read the Gospels, read them with new eyes today, we oftentimes say to the women and the disciples when they see Jesus, why didn't you believe that he'd rise again? Well, there's a simple answer. No one believed it. No one taught it. It was a foreign idea. The way that people lived was nevermore. Nevermore will I see my friend again. Nevermore will I be restored. Nevermore will I have happiness in my life ever again. God never intended that little word, nevermore, to have so much power, friends. Most people, that's all they're living by, nevermore. God never intended for nevermore to have power. When he created the earth in Genesis, there was no such thing as nevermore. Think about how that account reads. Adam and Eve are created, and God says, there are no boundaries, there are no stop signs, do whatever you want. In other words, enjoy the vegetation of the earth. Have dominion over the land. Have fruits and vegetables. Enjoy companionship with one another. Look out under the stars and take it all in, Adam and Eve. There was no such thing as nevermore. Thinking about that, Adam, this is what that says. This boggles my mind. Adam at no point said to Eve, this conversation never happened, Eve, boy, I wish I had my hair back. He never lost his hair. In the 16th century, when Adam was painted, he had six-pack abs. He was perfect in appearance. That's how they painted him. See, his health was perfect. Everything was just right. Never did Adam and Eve sit on the front porch and say, boy, I wish we could go back to that time a long time before. See, there was no such thing as nevermore. God told Adam and Eve there was one thing that they couldn't do, and we all know what it was. Don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, Adam and Eve did that. When you tell someone not to do something, you do it. They did. And sin has passed down from generation to generation, but what has happened is a nasty thing, friends. The word nevermore is very powerful now. Nevermore will we have life after death, people think. Nevermore will we have restoration of our health. Nevermore will we have that sweet time with our loved ones that we could have back. Luke 24 changed the world, unlike any other writing, I believe. Think of it this way. Luke 24, at the beginning of that chapter, hardly anyone believed that there was life after death. Everyone lived by nevermore, and there was lots of sorrow in life. The women show up with spices in the tomb. They didn't think Jesus was going to live again. But you see, at the end of Luke 24, there were a whole bunch of people that believed in life after death in 24 hours. And they had joy, disbelieving joy is what our text says. Unbelievable that there could be life after death. This is amazing. In one 24-hour period to have a change like that. Institutions, churches, to have a dramatic change on teaching, it takes hundreds of years. Here's an example. Galileo taught that, what did Galileo change? What was his teaching that he changed the world with? Does anyone remember what that was? That the sun was the center of the universe? He came up with that in 1632. How long did it take for the church and the institutions of the world to finally accept it and say, yeah, the sun is the center of the universe? It took 200 years for that to happen. Lots of debates, arguments, lots of writings in colleges to come to that conclusion. 200 years. But in Luke's gospel, in 24 hours, on a doctrine that is far more intense than the sun being the center of the universe, we have many people that have changed their opinion. I believe that there is life after death. There's only one reason there was a change. The resurrection of Jesus is historical fact. He rose, he lives again. Many people saw him, and they believed all of a sudden that there's life after death. No more nevermores. You know, what that means for us is that there are no, that word has lost its sting. It's lost its power in our lives. No more nevermores. A couple of years ago, we had a funeral here at Peace, and the people that wanted to have the funeral here at Peace aren't known by anybody here except a couple people. Their son had died in Colorado. Family was up in Washington State. And other family members were down in Southern California. And they decided that this church, Peace Lutheran Church, was the perfect place to come because this relative that had died had grown up here in this community. They had shared with me privately that he believed Jesus to be his personal Lord and Savior. And I could tell in my conversations that he was a follower of Jesus. And so I said, that sounds good. And we had the church service here at Peace, a small gathering of people. A message was given. People shared stories and remembrances. It was kind of nostalgic, and everyone had a moment to remember how things were 20 years ago, that sort of thing. Towards the end of the service, I said what a Lutheran pastor says in almost every funeral or memorial service, and here it is. May God, the Creator who made this body, may God, the Redeemer who paid the price of His blood for this body, may God, the Holy Spirit, who sanctified this body, keep these remains until the resurrection of all flesh. It's how every service ends. And after the service ended, I was walking out, and the niece of this uncle that had passed away came up to me and said, "Pastor, did you say that right? Did you say that his remains will live again on the resurrection of all flesh?" She had no idea about that. It was an aha moment. A disbelieving joy came onto her face. It was unbelievable. In that moment, she realized the gathering for that funeral and memorial service wasn't just to share memories of what happened in the past, but it was a gathering to recognize Jesus will raise your uncle again so that he will have everlasting life. Resurrection of the flesh, it's in the creed of the church. This has great application for us in our life. How many nevermores have you heard in your life? A lot. You'll never more have hair. You'll never more have that sweet time with your children that you just love to have. You'll never more have the health that you once had. You'll never more be able to travel to this or that place, this or that place. The resurrection of Jesus never more has no more power. Because of his resurrection and because he will come again, never more has no power. He will make your life for eternal life that will be better than any moment that we've ever experienced on life. The health that we will have will be better than what we've ever had on this earth. The hair that we have will be better than any that we have ever had on this earth. That's the teaching of the church. Dear friends, the word that is given here to describe these disciples that Jesus appeared to, it's a word that says they disbelieved out of joy, from joy. What a weird thing to say, disbelieving joy. And they marveled. It's in verse 40. What a strange thing to say. They had their world turned up down. They didn't believe that there'd be life after death. All of a sudden, they completely believed in life after death. It's kind of like the only thing that I can compare it to is watching a movie and being puzzled the entire movie about the plot and where it's going and who's doing what and why they're doing it. And getting to the very end of the movie, this happens on a few movies, you get a little piece of information that changes the entire movie. And that little piece of information makes you think of all the characters and all the plot twists, and all of a sudden everything makes sense. And the movie's a great one. Isn't that the way it is with our life? There are a lot of things that are puzzling. There are a whole bunch of nevermores. Jesus rose. It's a historical fact. He rose, and he will return again in his glory. And that little piece of information changes our whole understanding of life and the difficulties that we face. Jesus is coming to give us an existence that will be better than what we've ever experienced in life. And there will be a time, Jesus says, there will be no more tears, no more sorrow. What he's saying there is this: there will be no more nevermores. Let's pray about that. Dear Jesus, we are so succumbed to that word nevermore. Whether it be our health, whether it be our relationships, whether it be our jobs and employments, and we think we'll never get back to where we were. We thank you for the joy of the resurrection, and that it's not just Jesus who will be resurrected, but you will resurrect us to be with you forever, to put things just as they should be. Help us to see that as an attitude shift, a behavior shift for how we see things today, that there are no nevermores. Jesus' resurrection overcame it all for us in the future and for today. We pray great thanksgiving to you, Jesus. Amen.